Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, thank you for this wonderful special music program that Renee provided for us. It's beautiful. Everything is beautiful. Even though this earth is cursed, but so beautiful. So I'm usually saying, if all the things that we see is so beautiful after this curse of this earth, how much beautiful we can expect when God created a new heaven and new earth. Today, we are still searching for the truth. I think that is our lifetime purpose in this life, to know who God is, to know what the Bible actually is telling us. And so, as my journey started about these special topics, which was that we had the, I think the last time I was talking was the two primary gospel in contemporary Adventism, and we talk about first two issues that were presented to our church by one of the speakers, and that was a nature of sin, and then humanity of Jesus Christ. And we discuss about those things, and then today I'm talking about ground of salvation. This is the issue, is justification and sanctification. And you see those different point of view. And personally, I think if we have some difference of understanding, that's okay, because we're all different. There's no robot. Everything is doing exactly what was programmed, because God gave us the thoughts and the feelings and perspective. And so we all are different. And so by sharing different opinion, we can grow better rather than making any, you know, fuss or division. And so the sad part of actually the Christianity to the world is that we have so many different denominations. Originally, we had one church, but that church was corrupted because of all different non-biblical doctrines put into the church. So then Martin Luther started, no, that's not the way we should go. So let's go back to the Bible only. That's how Christendom started, with the Protestantism. But these days, there's no more protesting things against any teachings that are against the Bible. Maybe a few denominations of the church, including we Seventh-day Adventists. But actually, since we have too many different denominations, and that actually is against the prayer of Jesus Christ before he left. He wants us to be unity, just like God the Father and God the Holy Spirit and God the Son are united together. And I think eventually that prayer of Jesus Christ is fulfilling, because as I indicated before, right now we are in deep in right and left issue. And I recently visited my country, Korea. They are still like that also. I think these global events, right and left, but as I mentioned before, we no longer will like right and left. We'll be like this, right? One is aboveist. The other one is what? Beneathist. Beneathist, yeah. Because only those who are following Christ will be united together, and the rest will be beneathist. Jesus said, I'm the from above, and all the rest of you are coming from the beneath. And so that will be final conclusion. And so I think as we study the Bible, we can share together, and we still remain in the unity of Christ, especially in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so the title today is, as I just shared there in that slide, ground of salvation? Is it justification or sanctification or both? That is the issue we're going to talk about. And I think the question is, is it ground of salvation, is it both justification and sanctification, or justification alone? And here, I think we have to know what is the definition of the salvation. Because Bible actually talk about different time zone of salvation. So let me illustrate here. And this is a kind of crowded slides, but in Acts chapter 16, this is the story about Paul and his companion to go to Europe to have some missionary journey. And Acts 16, but before that, they actually went to the Turkey. And I don't have a map, I'm sorry, but in the Turkey, they are traveling, and then they arrive at the city of Troas. Actually, my wife and I, we had the opportunity to visit that city. It's close to the harbor. And we had the kind of thrill to think about when Paul was standing there and which way to go, on the right or on the north. And there was a Holy Spirit appealing them. It was a call from the Macedonia. And I want you to cross the sea and go to the continent of the Europe. And that's where they went. And the first city they arrived was Philippi. And that's where they had this issue here, because they got beaten because of their gospel story. And they are in the prison. And they're wondering, how come Holy Spirit led us to this place and we end up in this prison? And this is the place, but God never let them to suffer, because they actually were able to praise God at night. And the prison keeper heard about, you know, strange noise at night, and they're praising God and singing songs in this difficult of trial. And then suddenly there was a earthquake. And then this prison keeper, he was so afraid that he lost some prisoners. And he was trying to kill himself. And then Paul says, no, don't hurt yourself, because we're going to give you eternal life. And so this is a story where this prison keeper, he actually asking, sir, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Paul said, believe the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. So this saved is the next, if we read it, there was a Bible was given to them and they talked to them, the word of God. And then they immediately, and he and his family decided to baptize. And they rejoiced, and they believe in him, and so this is a salvation. What is ground of salvation then in this case? This is immediate, right? They didn't have any much time of sanctification, like you and I, we are going through, but Bible talks about more specifically than this in the next slides, where Jesus said to him, who is him here? Luke chapter 19. Whose story is that? Zacchaeus. Yes. Today, salvation has come to this house. You know this Zacchaeus. He was tax collector. He was one of the IRS at the time, agent, and they didn't like him. And he had some bribery and rich person. But it was Jericho, and Jesus actually going through the city. Because this is the last stop. He's going to Jerusalem to be executed. And you know that this Zacchaeus was short. I had a topic of this the life of Jericho, very interesting things we can gather, a lot of his story. But he was so short. So what did he do? What he can do to see Jesus is he knew where Jesus is going. And in other words, his life was put in the way of Jesus Christ. So he found a tree, sycamore tree, and up there he was waiting, and Jesus could see him. This is one of the last souls that Jesus saved. And he, you know, Jesus asked, "Why do you come down?" And he came down. I said, this is the best fruit of that tree that produced. And so, Zacchaeus said, today salvation has come to your house. Now, so salvation is something that is something we can actually experience even today. That's why the Bible says today is the only day you can actually have a grace of Jesus Christ and salvation of Jesus Christ to be certain. So are you sure? Do you think today you have assurance of salvation? That's the whole issue here we talk about. But at the same time, there's another story here. And Peter said, who are kept by the power of the God through the faith for the salvation. This salvation is talking about ready to be revealed in the last time. It means that there's another aspect of salvation that will occur at the time of Christ's coming. So we Adventists worry about of this kind of salvation. In other words, shall I be saved when Christ comes? So let me ask you, are you ready? If Christ comes tonight, are you ready for the salvation? Well, we are saying, well, I have to build up my character like Jesus Christ. I have to be perfect in that sense. And who is ready if we think about that? And therefore, many Adventists are not sure about their salvation. And therefore, I think this challenge about ground of salvation is justification or sanctification or both. This is somewhat the issue that we need to talk about. So here, another one is Hebrews chapter 10. Now the just shall live by faith. You know, the just shall live by faith is something we'll discuss today in reference to the justification. But even justification by faith is in what book mostly dealt with? Book of Romans, right? But here in book of Hebrew, also talk about now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draw back, God says, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. So after you have a salvation, I don't know what happened with the prisoner in a ward or Zacchaeus' families. I don't know whether they kept their faith. But here, Bible says there are some people will what? Will draw back. And their drawback is going to the perditions. But those who believe, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So in other words, this slide and the previous slides talking about, there is also a salvation that we have to think about when Christ comes, and which is more in relationship with the sanctification, right? And when we talk about, like Zacchaeus says, today you and your family are saved. That is more with the justification. We tend to think that way. But we'll deal more about these issues. So we talk about justification and sanctifications. And not only that, we need to talk about, in terms of justification, there are some more detailed explanation about that. And so let's go to talk about this justification and righteousness. So you heard about this theological terminology, justification by faith or righteousness by faith. And these are very, very delicate and difficult questions. And I don't want to bombard it with all this terminology. But basically, one simple way to say is this. Review and Herald, Ellen White said, the righteousness by which we are justified is called imputed. And then righteousness by which we are sanctified is imparted. The first one, which is our title to heaven, and the second one is our what? Fitness for heaven. Now, when we talk about title, I was talking with my wife this morning, and we have our house, you have your house, or any place you live. There is some title. If you rent, that's okay, but you have some kind of title that you own, right? Especially like a property, if you have a title, sometimes even though you are actually legal ownership, you can lose that property. Even though everything is legitimate and everything is recorded in the county or state or city. And we call that what? Adverse possession. What is that? That is, in other words, you heard about squanderers. A squanderer's right. In other words, if you buy a house and you went to the bank and sign and all the legal issue has been register and you have your own title, but if you don't live in that place and somebody came and lived there for a certain time, that person can claim that, oh, this is my house. So this is what we call adverse possession. And there's some pretty rigorous investigation, though. However, there is a possibility. Somebody can come to your property if you don't live there. And that is what we call our title in this world. But I'm talking about our title to heaven. This title to heaven is given to us by what we call righteousness by faith. And we are justified, or sometimes they call it justification by faith, and this is what we call imputed. Imputed means is regarded, you know, accounted to your credit. But there's another issue, which is sanctification, where they call righteousness by sanctification in a way. It was we call imparted righteousness, which is our fitness for heaven. In other words, if heaven is my title that I received by initial experience of the justification, then that heaven has to be my possession, but I have to what? I have to experience of living there. Of course, it's we are figuratively speaking. We are not living in heaven yet. But the title is something that allow me to enjoy and have a privilege and invited other people for my possessions. And that is what we call the fitness for heaven. So I think these two are very important. And so the question is so, ground of salvation is justification and sanctification, or salvation alone. You have to study and have your own answer about that. Now, we know this Today, I will talk much about the book of Romans, and you all kind of, most of you understand that, but we're just reviewing our knowledge. It says, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." This is Paul talking about. Gospel is what? Gospel is a good news, you know. Euangelion, you means good. Gelion is proclaiming. So good news of Christ. Many Christians, they're afraid to share good news of Christ to public. So when you go to public and, you know, like a restaurant, people are seeing each other and eating and talking about, and especially in a group, there are many people are not, I mean, if you have a group, you know, eating, and not many people are Christian, and you're the only one, and you just, what shall I do? I just pray and just maybe picking something and then, and amen. Am I really ashamed to share the gospel story of Jesus Christ? And here it says, it is the power of God and salvation to everyone who believes. Amen. Now, and in it, what is it? In the gospel, there are two revelations. Number one is the righteousness of God. Righteousness means it's nothing but the right things. Okay, it's nothing but just things. And we'll talk about that. And then it reveals the righteousness of God and is from faith to faith. And I was in the past wondering about what it means from faith to faith. My current understanding that is from the faith of Jesus Christ to my faith. There are two kinds of faith the Romans is talking about. So that is my understanding. And I think we all have to share this from the start, that whatever we have studied and we concluded, but we cannot be dogmatic about that, because truth never changed, but my understanding to the truth can be progressive, okay? And so actually I'm dealing with my old high school friends, and last so-called Easter, someone put the video about, when we die, what happened? Is a dead person looking at us, and he's a interesting fellow. He lives in L.A., but he put the video. When I read that, when I watched that, it was so unbiblical. And so I wrote a big article, and that creates some commotions in our group. But anyway, so I told them, we had a online once in a while, and last week we had about 20 people join. And then one of them asked me, "You wrote about the unquenchable fire, talking about hell, and what is that?" And then I share some story. So I told them, "Well, we need to progress in our knowledge of God, and so it's a challenge. But I'm not afraid of anybody now. I can try to share my understanding of the gospel to anybody." But anyway, so here, the just shall live by faith. And what is this faith we're talking about? As I shared, it started with the faith of Jesus Christ, and then it coming from that faith to my faith. And we just had opening hymn. It says, "Thy faithfulness," right? So actually, what is the faith of Jesus Christ? It is nothing The way I think it's nothing but his faithfulness that he did all the way, coming from heaven all the way down to here, which is what Bible says, and I shared the last time, it was how much sacrifice? Infinite sacrifice. Infinite sacrifice. So he did that. When he came down here, there's another sacrifice that he went through. So all the way to the death. And so Christ's sacrifice is infinite. So that's why he was faithful to what he committed, even before the creation, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, that I'm going to go down to the earth or whatever creation that we created. If there's some problem, I'll go down there to be the savior or propitiation, sacrifice. So that is what Christ's faith of Christ, which is a faithfulness. In other words, he still trusts you and me. He still believes in you, because he knows that you will turn around back to gain the first love that you lost. So I don't know, somebody's here struggling about your relationship with God. God is faithful. He's faithful. He will give you mercy and grace. I'll show you some of the statement here. And then there's another revelation, which is a wrath of God. And I don't think I have time to talk about wrath of God. It's something we usually, the way we think is God is harsh, and he send all these unrepented sinners, and then he'll put them into the lake of fire and burn eternally. And so I think last time I shared with you, there are some Christians who are not thinking about that way now. We said Kirk Cameron. I share that he does not believe. He had about 1 million followers, an evangelical group as a leader. And he said, I don't believe in ECT. Do you know what the ECT means? What is the E?
Eternal.
C means what?
Conscious.
And T is what?
Torment,
yeah. As he and his son announced December last year, it's the same time when the Charlie Kirk, we talk about two Kirks, okay? Charlie Kirk, his book was published, okay? What is his book about?
Stop
in the name of God. I'm glad that some of you are aware of that. It's what kind of book about this? About the Sabbath, right? He said, I heard, he said, if we truly believe Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, you cannot dishonor his Sabbath, seven-day Sabbath. So that's why he wrote that book. He's gone, you know. But I had that book. I bought it. I think we Adventists, we should buy that book and then share with whoever, your friends who are a strong Sunday church goer, share that. And it's a good opportunity for us to evangelize. I think God is stirring up people and to make them decision whether they follow human tradition. And as the Bible says, Jesus says they worship in vain. Because what? Because they follow the commandment of man, right? And so God is waiting for his people in Babylon to be awakened by the loud cry. Even though our cry is very, very, very faint, but I think this is a beginning of something that's going to happen pretty soon. And one of the church members today shared about the Sunday and Sabbath issue in this current administrations, and we have to really watch about these things. I think this coming, that lawyers' legal and liberty, religious liberty issue will be great. I hope a lot of people can come and hear them messages. But anyway, So there's a wrath of God that also revealed. And one thing here it's from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And I think I shared this before, but I'm going to share again. This ungodliness, what is the definition of that? It is asebema, original Greek words. It means, means no. Sebema means worshiping God. So ungodly means somebody who has no understanding or meaning or concept or practice of worshiping God. Their ungodliness. So I think especially the worshiping issue really coming up, right? In Revelation 13 and 14. We're going to talk briefly about that. But remember, the gospel, in the gospel, there are always two things that reveal. One is the righteousness of God. One is wrath of God. And one is actually good news in the Evangelion, that the gospel. But there's also a sad story. And this is started with the Christ first came to this world, right? There was a joy in heaven and peace on earth. But there was Jeremiah predicted in the Bible, in the Matthew, said that there was a cry from the Ramah, the name of town in Israel, where the mothers are crying because of their baby were executed because of Jesus Christ. And so always gospel, as I said before in this pulpit, gospel is a duet of two different stories. And we have to think about both to really understand. And because God cannot just continue to have in this earth the force of evil continuously harassing God's people. I think there will be time. But anyway, so the gospel story is the righteousness of God by the faith of Jesus Christ. So this is where it's coming from. The righteousness by faith actually is the abbreviation of the words the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ to all and on all. And what is next words? Who believe. So in other words, because of Christ's faithfulness and because of his faith, and that faith is now coming to those who believe. So our faith is part of that, even though I read from some Adventist writer, he said, our faith is what we call here infinitesimal. Infinitesimal. This pretty big words. You know what infinitesimal means? It is a non-zero number, but still is existing. But it is comparing with the original one. It is really meaningless. But it's very important, though. So what we contribute to God's grand plan of salvation, what we do is really nothing, but it's so important. Without that infinitesimal faith, I cannot join there. I cannot join there. You know, I think I shared with my friend Brad earlier, and we understand 1888 of our church history, there was some issue about this righteousness by faith issue. And one of the speakers, I think, had some idea that at that time, because of the rejection of the true righteousness by faith messages, probably latter rain stopped or God had some different idea. And there are many instances of Ellen White's books that Christ could have come earlier. But I'm so glad that they messed up in 1888. Because of that, Christ couldn't come. And then I came here to this earth. If 1888 message is successful and then Christ came earlier, I don't have any chance to see all this wonderful news of Jesus Christ. So I'm so grateful about that. So God has a lot of different ways, but still don't delay because there are more sufferings coming too. But of course, whenever you have more suffering, Christ's grace is more abundant. But God is so mysterious to us. And so this righteousness of God by the faith of Jesus Christ to all who believe, it is totally different from someone who tried to make their work of keeping the law without the faith. And so this is where the issue is. You probably knew about these things. So remember, in the book of Romans, it says, the one we received justification is not something I accomplish. That's why Bible says there is a justifier. The justifier, he himself is just, and he is a justifier. It has to do with, this verse is to do with sanctification. I'll share with that also. And God can only justify for those who has faith in Jesus Christ. So Bible, in the book of Romans, the hero of this whole issue of justification by faith, or the justly by faith alone, they point to the Abraham. And then he says, if Abraham was justified by his own works, that he has something to boast about, right? But not in front of God. For what does the scripture say? This scripture means the Old Testament, okay? We'll go there. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So now we are heading toward this Abraham story and to find out what actually Bible is talking about righteousness of God. What was the condition that God was looking for in the life of Abraham that I said, I will give you my righteousness, even though you didn't do anything in that matter. So Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Here it says Abraham. Oh, it's a different person. Here is Abraham and Abraham. What does Abraham mean in Hebrew, in the Old Testament? Abraham means exalted father. That's what it means, exalted father. And then what is Abraham means? Father of many nations. So Abraham, before he became Abraham, Abraham means just exalted father. When you say exalted, it means usually you are respected by your somebody. But at that time, how many children he had? None. So when he goes around and people say, what is your name? Abraham. Or how many children you have? Zero. That's kind of name he had, okay? And then God said in vision, God says, Abraham, oh, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. And then Abraham, if you read the verse 2, Yahweh, Jehovah, what did you do to me? I don't have any children. And so what you're saying to me is something not realistic. That's how he's complaining, actually. And then God brought him outside and looked now toward heaven and counted the star. If you are able to number them, and then so shall your descendant be. And then here it says, he believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to Abraham for righteousness. So this is the first time that righteousness of God is revealed. Now, so what is that? And here, because of what Abraham believed, Bible uplifted Abraham and his faith, and he become father of us all. I have no blood linkage with Abraham, but it's a spiritual way that Abraham is somebody that I respect. I had to visit his tomb in Israel. It's a big tomb, and I don't know what will be the amazing fact when Jesus comes, he will rise up. But anyway, he had a lot of, you know, human mistake, right? And that was chapter 15. And then he promised to Abraham that you'll have a lot of descendant. And then chapter 16, he had, not by God's way, he had another first child he brought up. And that's where the problem of Ishmael and Isaac is still going on up to this time. Now, so this verse, Romans chapter 4, 17, is, I think, very key verses that we understand what does the righteousness of God really means. What did Abraham believe so that God says, your belief, I'll count it to the for the righteousness. And so here it says, as it is written, I have made you father of many nations. So here, father of many nations is Abraham, not from Abraham, okay? In the presence of him who he believed. What did he believe? He believed the kinds of God, the kinds of Yahweh he believed. That is what, who gives life to death. And the second one he believed was called those things which do not exist as though they did. In the biblical term for these two is what? Gives life to the dead is what? Resurrection. Yeah, resurrection. And then called those things which do not exist as though they did. Creation, yeah. So in other words, what Abraham believed is he believed what? Creation and resurrection. Do you believe creation? Raise your hand. Not fully. Maybe somebody can understand my English. That's okay. Do you believe the resurrection? Yeah. If you believe that, we are following the same righteousness that Abraham actually received as counted. Because Bible says that. You probably know about that. So remember, Romans chapter 4, 17 is something we really have to emphasize that. What is the righteousness of God that Abraham believed? Which is belief of creation and belief of resurrection. So we think about in the life of Abraham, these two events actually realized in a deep sense that we never really can understand because he went through that difficulty himself. So Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, when God asked him to have his son to offer as a sacrifice, he actually, what? He actually, by faith, what did he do? He actually went. And it's very interesting I think it's chapter 22 of Genesis. And his wife didn't know about that God told him. So, patriarch prophet says he didn't say to his wife that God asked me to sacrifice our son. Sometimes I think there's some words you cannot share with your wife or your husband if it's really important. But anyway, I don't know about that. And yeah, in trouble. Now, when they went, it was a several days walk, right? 3 days walk. And how many people went there? Just two? How did you know? That's right. We have good Bible students. Yeah. So they went, and not only them, but they had their servants. Looks like more than one, according to Bible. So they called they. And then before the Mount Moriah, and they stop at the base, and Abram and took his son, and then what? The servants says, "You wait here. We will go up to worship God and come back." So think about that statement. It means that even though God said God wants Abram to put his son's sacrifice, he knew when everything finished up, he'll come back with his son because he believed in what? Believe in resurrection. Believe in resurrection. So here it says, by faith, Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. See, by faith, he offered. So offering is by faith. Some people offer by their works, but Abram, in his case, by faith. Okay? That's why we call righteousness by faith of Jesus Christ, from faith of Jesus Christ unto faith of Abraham. So from faith to faith, talking about. Now, he who had received promise offered up his only begotten son. His only begotten son means what? It's Messiah, Jesus Christ, right? And so this is at the end here, figurative sense, he already experienced at that time the experience of Calvary, of that experience by God the Father in heaven. So I had one of my relatives who is almost past 95, or almost 95, a lot of back pain, things like that at the age of her physical condition. And I prayed to her, whatever pain you have, even though I'm a medical doctor, I can help you. Only I can give you drugs, but probably that person doesn't want that. I said, whatever happened, just think about it. Your pain is a blessing in disguise, because through your pain, you can participate the suffering of Jesus Christ. That's the only answer I could give. And I don't know, that might be very meaningful or not, but I think sometimes we're at the roadblock. We cannot go any other place. And then we have to accept that what I have and how Christ, he went through that. And so, in a way, if you participate Christ's experience in your life, I think that is really a blessing, in a way. And so, in Isaac, your seed shall be called. And concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So there's no doubt in the Bible, it points out that Abram's experience, one of the experiences was resurrection. And that was part of the condition that Abram demonstrated, that he believed righteousness by faith. So God gave that privilege. And then by faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. You know, when I first become reading Bible, I couldn't figure out what that means. But I can now understand at least some. Because here, the things which are seen, right? The things we are seeing are not made of the things which are visible. So, visible and seen are actually similar statement, right? So in other words, what it means is God created things out of some material that was existing before? No. God created everything out of non-material, non-existing material. So in other words, we call this ex nihilo. In other words, out of nothing. God created. That is actually true definition of God's creation. I don't know how many Christians, scientists are saying, but we cannot think this material that we see here is continuously, eternally existing. No. God started everything out of nothing. And so this is true creation. And Roman says, contrary to hope, in hope he believed, Abraham, and he became the father of the many nations. And then when he had his son, finally, he was 100 years old, but he never considered his own body already dead. And same goes with Sarah's womb, deadness. You know, scientifically we know that like about 6 million, 7 million eggs when a female was in the mother's womb. But when the baby was come to this world, he had only about 1 million, you know, 1 million egg. And during puberty, about 300,000. So all this egg is decreasing. During the productive years of reproductive years of life, only about 300 or 400 eggs. But by the time she was, I think she was 80 or so, there was no egg. And so this is where I think, even though it is contrary to hope, but he wasn't weak in faith, and they're able to produce a life, the Isaac, and this is actually a creation. This is a creation. And he wasn't wavering at the promise of God through unbelief, and fully convinced, and he had promised what God is able to perform. Because he has a true belief, what God promised, he will perform. And that's the faith God wants us to have. And so here, it was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Now here is blessing on our part. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. So it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So I think creation and resurrection is so important foundation of the Christian faith that we have to have in order for us to become a follower of Jesus Christ, and we become part of the Abraham's family, so to speak. And here, justification by faith coming. And when we have that, God says he will give us peace. Do we enjoy that peace every day? Every day, yeah. Here, what is justification by faith? It is the work of God in laying the glory of man in the dust. So, justification by faith means that God wants to get rid of all our works, all our doings, all our reputation, all our experience put into the dust. Putting dust means just bury, okay? Die, bury. And doing for man that which is not in man's power to do for himself. So in terms of this justification, there is nothing that we can actually contribute much. Because that's what the purpose of this, that he is laying the glory of man in the dust. So there is no glory for us to boast about. And through faith, we receive the grace of God. Faith is not our savior. It earns nothing. It is just the hand by which we lay hold upon Christ and appropriate his merits. So faith is nothing but hand to grasp something, grasp what Christ has done for me, and I just use it for myself. So if you don't have hand, what do you have to do? You have to use your foot. Very inconvenient. So keep our hands clean, okay? All the time. Don't touch it in an defiled one, because we are touching Jesus Christ. Well, how do we say? Is it justification or sanctification? I think that that question is not really important. Just look at what it says here. We have to behold the Lamb of God. And if His love draw us to Himself, and that is the only motive for us to do any work as a good work as a Christian, the work out of love. Without that, everything else is human glory. Wow. And then there'll be new life. And our thoughts and desires and heart and minds, they'll be changed. So the law of God is written in the minds and heart. As the Psalm said, I delight to do your work. That's why new covenant is in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10. God says, I will write my law in your where? In your heart, yes. So if we have God's law in our heart, we are really a different person, not belong to this world. Well, I think time is really going up. I haven't even started the sanctification. So gospel is the one that reveals the righteousness of God. And we have what we call three angel messages, right, that we understand. And there it says eternal gospel. So we have to find out three angel messages in that Revelation chapter 14. We found really there was this creation and the resurrection. That message was there or not. Then, as Ellen White says, he says, Christ, His righteousness, let this be our platform, the very life of our faith. And he says, people are asking her that if the message of justification by faith is a third angel message or not. And she said, it is the third angel message in verity. And we can find here in chapter 14, verse 7, and worship Him who made heaven and earth and sin. This is basically a creation story, right? And then where's the resurrection story? It's only verse 13. Even though we Adventists tend to put 13 outside the three angel message, but I think you should put it in there. Because 14, what is it? Revelation chapter 14, verse 14 starts. It is start Christ coming in a cloud. He had a sickle. And then and the angel said, rip the earth. And he thrust and put that and then burning. And so this is a Christ coming. Right before that, we have the three angel messages. And then worship Him. So this is a Revelation 14. So what happened? Revelation 13, you know, there's a beast, two beasts. We need to talk about all these things too. But the beast will enforce everybody to worship other things. So this creation message is worship true God. And so these are all tied together. So Revelation 13 is right before 300 messages. So we know how how the time is really the essence in that sense, right? So the resurrection messages, I think in verse 13, at the end of the 300 messages here, I heard the voice from heaven saying to me, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, and then they may rest from their labors, in their works followed, but their works follow them. So when they rest, and then they'll come back at the time of special resurrection, not the general resurrection. But anyway, sanctification. Oh, I haven't misspelled that anyway. Bottom line is, just give me 5 minutes, okay? I'll just wrap it up. The first Corinthian here says, Jesus Christ he became for us to be what? Wisdom and righteousness and also what? Sanctification. So there is no glory that we can claim. A lot of time we think justification is what Christ has done for me, but sanctification is something I have to do. And so without Christ, I mean, I'm doing it, but I fail and fail. So how I can be assurance of my original salvation? Because that salvation is coming later at the last time. And so many Christians, many especially Adventists, are disappointed and discouraged. They don't have any smile and they don't have any joy, even though we are called to be the happiest people on this earth because we know the gospel story. But remember, sanctification is just like justification. It is Jesus Christ. And I'll demonstrate here. Yeah, this is the one. Justification, righteousness is justifying. Who is justifying? It's Jesus Christ. For those who have faith in Jesus. How about sanctification? He who sanctify, and those who are being sanctified. When I study about this sanctification in the whole Bible, there are many, many verses, especially about the 40-some plus. But anyway, all the sanctification is, when it applies to us, it is always a passive tense. I don't sanctify my own life. No, I am sanctified by somebody. So there is not much of human elements except we claim what Christ has done for me because he is a sanctification for me. And therefore here, so he's a sanctifier, just like he's a justifier. Okay? Now, here it says, 1 Thessalonians and Jude, it is God who sanctifies you completely. Same word. Those who are called and sanctified, this is a passive tense, right? Sanctified by God the Father. Now, Holy Spirit is the one who sanctifies us. You are sanctified, but you are justified by the Spirit of God. In other words, Holy Spirit is justifying you and sanctifying you. Now, Jesus Christ, he has been offering his body and we have been sanctified by that through the offerings. And here, Jesus sanctified the people with his own blood. So remember, shedding the blood on the cross is not just justification alone. It is involved also sanctification. So we have to accept that. Now here, unbelieving husband is what? Sanctified by the wife. And unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. See, this sanctification is also worked through human by their example. And many times when, I'll be Adventist, I'll go to church, and so let's marry together type of things. So after they marry, what happened? Many cases, the real true Adventist spouse will kind of join with the unsanctified spouse. Because you just had marriage for the sake of marriage. And then it changed the other way. But Bible says if you're truly sanctified yourself and justified by the Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son, you can actually have unbelieving husband or wife back to God's realm. And then your children can be also holy. Otherwise, it reverses, then even your children become corrupt eventually. So this is a good principle about sanctification. Yes, we're almost done. The Lord Jesus Christ imparts all the power and grace and penitence, inclination, and all the pardon of the sin. The only purpose is so that God wants, by our living faith, to grasp the righteousness for us. But remember, he says, if you would gather together everything that is good and holy and noble and lovely in man, you gather all these good elements, good character, all these things, and then you gather that and you present that to the angel of God for the salvation of the soul in Mary or in Mary, that kind of proposal will be rejected by what? By treason, as a treason. So in other words, both justification and sanctification, there's not really a human effort that can you boast about. All what we do is because of the new change of our perspective, our thought, motive, minds, all these things, it will just attract it to the love of Jesus Christ. And so here it says, who can measure the infinity of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? So when we think about that, that will draw us to the love of God. And from that, our justification, our sanctification will be just automatically follow that. So whenever we have a problem, always go back to cross. That's where we have to have our motivation to be revived and renewed. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we are challenged with a message today that there's nothing that we have to worry about because you are the one who provide everything with your infinite sacrifice from heaven all the way down to this earth on the cross. So please help us to trust in you. And our assurance of salvation is every day for sure. So we can show our joyfulness, happiness, and hopefulness to other people so that your love will be permeated in our life and through our life to other people. Please bless each and every one of us because we ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a wonderful Sabbath, and we'll see you next Sabbath.